You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Julian Marshall with NewsHour. Four Kenyans who claim they suffered unspeakable torture during the Mau Mau rebellion against British colonial rule in the 1950s are in London seeking compensation from the government. The case is to be heard in the High Court on Thursday. The Mau Mau rebels were a nationalist movement who themselves committed horrific attacks and murders, but they were no match for the retribution meted out by the British colonial authorities. Tens of thousands of suspects were rounded up, 12,000 were convicted, and more than 1,000 were hanged. And as a result of the pending case, secret files have been discovered which detail the way the British suppressed the Mau Mau rebellion. Among those in London to make his case is 78-year-old Ndiko Mutuiwa Mutua, who says he was castrated after being detained as a Mau Mau suspect. He came into the NewsHour studio and, speaking through an interpreter, told me his story.
I was a milkman. That was my main job, just to milk cows in the white settlers' farm.
And did you have any contact at that time with the Mau Mau rebels?
During the time when I used to work in the farm, I didn't know anything about Mau Mau. The Mau Mau fighters had not started fighting. Later on, I established contacts with Mau Mau guerrilla fighters, and I started giving them food from the white man's house. I could sneak and take some food to them in the forest.
And is that the reason you think you were arrested?
That's the reason why I was arrested, because it was a lynch that I was giving the Mau Mau fighters food.
And what happened to you when you were arrested?
The night that I was arrested, I was in my master's farm, and he ordered his guards to arrest me and beat me thoroughly, so thoroughly that I did not know where I was. I went into a coma. Later on, he ordered them to take me to another place called Lukenya, where I was kept in the cells. It is in the cells in Lukenya where I was blindfolded, and my hands and my legs were tied together. Then another man came with a pliers, and he castrated me.
He castrated you, and you were conscious, were you, at the time?
Though I had been beaten before, I was taken to the cell where I was castrated. I could know what was going on, but I was blindfolded. I could not see anyone, but I was conscious.
So who did this thing to you, do you think?
Once I was beaten, my master ordered the guards to take me to the cell. And at the cell, because I was blindfolded, I can't tell exactly who did the act of castrating me. But from my assumption, I think my master did it, because that's why he had to let me be blindfolded so that I could not see him.
What else did your master do as well as being a farmer?
My master was an inspector of police as well as a farmer.
And what happened to you after this castration?
It's at that time that the guerrilla fighters, the Mau Mau fighters, came for my rescue. They infended the cells where I was locked in, and they got me out, then carried me away to the forest, where they continued to treat me, to give me treatment from the local herbal medicine.
And how has that castration affected your life since then?
It pains me so much when I speak about these things, because of the pain I went through, and the act of being castrated putting my life into the end, because I can't marry, I can't have my own children, I can't have my own wife. I only live with my mother. And it pains me when I see other people living with their families, happily married with their wives. I feel so much pain. I had done nothing to nobody. I was just asking for my rights, just to be given independence from my own country.
And have you experienced psychological trauma as well as the physical trauma that you clearly did at the time?
It really affects my psychological being, because being a man without a family, without a wife, is so shameful, and I live under shame, even with my peers. It really affects me. Over and over again, I think about it. I find myself crying. And that's why I just came here to seek and to ask the British government to consider my atrocities and my plight and just compensate me.
That was Ndiko Mutua, who says he was castrated after being detained as a Mau Mau suspect in Kenya in the 1950s. I've also been speaking to David Anderson, Professor of African Politics at Oxford University. He's an expert on the Mau Mau uprising. Was Mr. Mutua's experience an isolated one?
Well, I regret to say it wasn't. It was all too familiar. The pattern of detention without trial, followed by what was called at the time screening, which was a euphemism for interrogation, that was the norm. And around 70,000 or more Kikuyu people were subjected to the kind of thing that Mr. Mutua has just described for us.
As bad as castration?
No, I don't think that castration was as common as that, but torture, beatings, deprivation, food deprivation, sleep deprivation, these were all very normal experiences as part of the so-called screening process. And many of the people who were subjected to it, you should note, were completely innocent. Mr. Mutua has very honestly admitted that he was a Mau Mau supporter supplying them with food and that he ended up in the forests as a fighter. But for the vast majority of those who were subjected to these abuses, there was no such connection with Mau Mau whatsoever. They were simply interrogated under suspicion.
And has there ever been any acknowledgement of the scale of abuse by the British colonial authorities at the time?
None at all. The reaction at the time, and I should emphasise, many of the things that are now being discussed and described were known at the time, but the reaction was always to dismiss these things as the actions of misguided individuals, the bad apples in the barrel who were carrying out these acts without any authority. What I think we came to realise as we worked historically on documents over the last 10 years and more is that that was not true. And in fact, there was a systemic pattern of violence that was authorised by government decision-making and government action.
I mentioned that those secret files that have been discovered as a result of this pending case. We've heard today from a Foreign Office Minister, Lord Howe, that thousands of files from previous British administrations are to be made public. Are they one and the same thing? Will they throw any more light on this?
Well, it is astonishing what has happened, because up until January, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office were denying that they held any materials at all on Mau Mau or on Kenya. And it was only through my submitting a detailed statement to the court for this case that it was revealed that a large cache of documents did in fact exist. They've now admitted further what I had long suspected, that not only did they remove documents from Kenya that would incriminate the guilty, but they did so from 36 other colonies also.
David Anderson, Professor of African Politics at Oxford University, and the British Foreign Office has said that it is right that there should be open debate about the past, but the UK intends to fully defend these cases. We are stating that under the law, Her Majesty's government cannot be held liable.